All right, you guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Temple of Hoop podcast. I am your co-host, Coach Maples, a.k.a. Jay Mapes, here with Kings. Kings is in the Bay Area. Got his fresh cut. He out here. I see him. What's going on, my boy?
Man, we back home, man. Good to be back, tapping in with folks, finna tap in with more people, get some work done. But, man, it feels good to be back home, y'all, for real, for real.
Yeah, I'm finna link with my guy for a meal or something, man. Definitely gotta see my boy, man. Before we get started, man, I just want you to know that Andrew Wiggins missed the second free throw, and then the Spurs came down and hit a three, man. Are you ready? Are you ready to admit?
The agenda has won. I told you anything that happens afterwards does not matter.
Okay, so you hold on. Just as I suspected, you hold on. I respect it. I expect no other. We are starting out with that team, though. Just, you know, bad news on top of bad news for the Warriors late this past week. First off, Steph Curry, Marcus Smart, the freak diving accident on a loose ball, sprained foot for Steph, out at least 2 weeks. I suspect they're going to play it really cautiously and, you know, push it maybe towards the edge or the playoffs. I'm sure they want to get a couple games in before the playoffs. That is going to hurt, obviously, in their, you know, mission to hold on to that number two seed. Memphis is right there. Mm-hmm. At a game and a half. Actually, they're behind Memphis. They're number three right now. They're actually two games in front of Utah, who was playing a lot better lately. So you're talking about possibly the Warriors dropping to four in Steph's absence, which means you get, you know, Dallas or Minnie in the first round, and then you possibly get Phoenix in the second round, which is just a very tough road to where they want to go. On top of that, the next couple days, James Harden, his knee is not responding to the up-ramping activity. They shut him down indefinitely for the time being. At game 71, I'm assuming that's for the season. In a couple weeks, they probably have to send him back to the G League again. By the time he's done that, there's just no way he's going to make a playoff roster. Let's start with Steph going down in the meantime. What do you think that means for the Warriors going forward? That's so close to the playoffs, just terrible timing. So yeah. What do you think that does to the Warriors for right now?
Well, first you want to hope that Steph can come back and be healthy when he does come back. In the meantime, he needs to teach others how to step up offensively, because they've been needing to find ways, creative ways to generate offense. Outside of Steph, outside of Jordan Poole creation, they've been needing to find ways to generate offense. So they need to, you know, get that aspect going. It's just tough because, you know, it's been an injury-riddled field year. They were banking on certain guys to fill certain holes for them that were hurt. The Wiseman step back means there's no chance of them of adding any real size to their roster at all. So they're just going to be rolling with Looney and Dre and hope they hold up, hope their bodies hold up. Then you have Steph off of injury, so you have to pray his body holds up. You know, Clay's, you know, he's still working through the fact that he hasn't played in 2 years and he came off two major injuries.
Yep.
It's a lot. It's just not – I wouldn't be shocked. At this point, I wouldn't even be shocked if they didn't make the conference finals just because of how much injuries they've dealt with. If you're going into a series against Memphis, for example, and you're just battling health against that team of youth and size, it's going to be tough. And that's assuming, you know, Memphis even gets it to the second round. There's still some good team. I mean, Dallas is a great team. I don't think they're in that bracket. I'm not sure if they can catch Memphis. Can they catch Memphis?
I'm looking at it right now. Dallas is 5.5 games.
Yeah. I don't think they'll catch it. So I don't think they'll.
Yeah, my prediction right now is the Warriors end up fourth if Steph misses 2 weeks, because Utah is at
four. Oh, yeah, Utah's pressure. So actually, my point does still remain.
Right.
Because, yeah, the Warriors could fall to four or five. So my point does remain, like, you don't want to play Luka in the first round undersized with, just no, like, you know what I mean, with no real health for going for you. you're going to be concerned about your body's holding up, and you're going to have to be playing Luka ball, you know, and then they have good creators that help keep Luka off the ball in the Dinwiddie and Brunson. And then you have the fact that all of Dallas is playing defense now. So it's a recipe for disaster against Dallas. It's a recipe for a disaster against Memphis. If they play those two without having good health, they could easily go home to any of those two if they're not healthy. And at this point, with all that's happened with the health issues and the uncertainty, I'm just not sure they were going to be able to beat Phoenix. You know, like I just at this point, I have to go pick Phoenix to go out the West.
Right. I think that was the thing too. You just everybody's been looking at that series. You look at it in the scope of, you know, how they match up with Phoenix, and it just feels like that 2016 feeling where they're good when they're healthy, but you just fighting injuries every single, you know, at every point, and it adds up. Man, that the timing of this just couldn't be worse. And I'm with you, man. So if they drop to 4, play Dallas in the first round, I actually got to ask you, man, because your boys have started 4-13 in Minnesota. Since then, they have the fifth best record in basketball since that point in time. Do the Warriors even want that fate in the first round? Because that is exactly that. That's what I'm saying. So that's what they would play right now. So it was like, you want that or you going against Luka ball? That's kind of where it looks like it's heading. Minnesota's not going to be a typical six seed with how because they just started off terribly, but they're really tracking like a 2 or 3 seed given, you know, how they're playing since a rough start. So like from that end of it, do you want Dallas or Minnesota, or, you know, the Warriors don't care, they just want to get healthy?
Yeah, and then with Minnesota, the main thing we lack is rim protection, obviously, because, you know, Cat's not rim protecting. We don't have that rim protecting four, but Vanderbilt and those guys, they be hustling. You know what I mean? Like, they be hustling, McLaughlin, they be hustling, so they be trying to make up for it, and like crashing the rim and attacking and contesting shots. And Pat Bev is a pest. He's going to make sure he gets on ball and guards his man. And offensively, you know, between D'Lo, Cat, and then all the shooters around him, man, it's a problem. Like, you know, we're a problem. So, and then we have a great coach. You know what I mean? He knows where to put guys where they need to be and get guys their shots.
You know, I remember that was a great call. I remember when they hired him, he was one of the highly touted guys in the offseason with the last round of job openings. He never got one. So they were able to get him in midseason before anybody else could tap in with him as a replacement. So, yeah, Finch, right?
Finch. And I love the hire as soon as they happen. Ever since then, we've been playing better ball. Like, since we hired him from last season, we finished last season strong to this season, you know, getting to where we're at right now. Like, man, it's been a great turnaround for us.
And I got to shout out Cat, man, because everybody was talking about how him and D'Lo wouldn't work. And, you know, they proving the haters wrong.
I won't say Cat, because he's always been a talented enough. I want to shout out D'Lo, because I did not expect D'Lo to be like this defensively.
This
calm and collected. He played like a vet. So I have to give credit to D'Lo. And, you know, again, Vanderbilt, McLaughlin, McLaughlin is tough, but I meant mainly McDaniels. McDaniels and Vanderbilt, just great guys that compete inside. You know, like, they're tough, very long, very athletic power forwards that kind of give us some pseudo rim protection just off hustle. And then obviously, you know, having Beasley coming back and shooting and competing and helping us with the scoring as well as defense on the perimeter, along with Pat Bev. Like, we have a lot of good pieces that are young. And they're developing in the roles that they need to be in. And I just hope it just keeps going. We just keep getting better.
Yeah. Last thing I want to ask you about while we just, you know, kind of organically shifted to your Timberwolves. Man, talk about Pat Bev, man, because you hear the way those guys talk about the mentality that he brought to the team. You may not see it statistically, but all the guys there talk about the effect that he's had on that locker room and how they just approach night to night. So, you know, speak on what you think Pat Bev does for those guys on a day-to-day basis.
Bro, he's just he's that vet that instills confidence in these guys that we can really be here. You know how Ant brought that mentality last season? It's like, oh, right, man, we Like, it don't matter who these dudes are. We can compete with anybody, but Pat Bev brings that. He's a vet. So he's a vet. So he's older. So it's one thing when you hear from the young guy who you think, oh, he's in over his head. And when you hear from the veteran who said, nah, we can ball. Like, you got this skill. You got this skill. Be over here. Let's communicate on defense. Like, we can get these guys. And then you see him busting his ass, and he's guarding guys 94. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to put pressure on the ball when he's on ball. He's trying to fight through screens. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's infectious, especially for a young team when they see their vet put that energy. It's like, man, we got to bring that energy. We younger than him. You know what I'm saying? And so, and then obviously Ant's a guy who competes, so he's going to, try and match that all the time. So it's like Pat Bev was a perfect vet for us because he brought, he brought the energy and the tenacity and the IQ defensively from the vet perspective. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't from the young in over his head perspective that Ant kind of has. You know, Ant, I love Ant's bravado, but again, he was young. It's like, right, Pat Bev brought it from the veteran's perspective where guys will actually listen to him because he's been in the league and he's played in so many different leagues in his journey. Everybody knows what Pat Bev's been through. So it's like him coming in there has just instilled that from a veteran presence. And him and Ant are perfect compliments again to D'Lo, who I'm shocked, but he just seems to be the calming presence in the locker room, steady, even keel, doesn't seem to be overwhelmed. And it's just, like when it gets to the close games, he knows what to do, where to get to his spots, get guys in their spots. And he's never, he just never feels overwhelmed. It's crazy to see. He's playing like a, calm vet. And then we have the D'Lo calm vet. We have the Pat Bev, the rowdy vet leader, loud leader. And then you have Ant-Man, the young vocal, star who's going to bring that swagger. And then you have Cat, who's the unicorn, you feel me? And people are saying he's waited this long to get a tough guy image, but hey, I'll take what Cat doing now than over what he's been doing for the past, how many years he's been in the league, man. I'll take the fake tough guy label, bro, because he's competing now. So, and he dropping 50s and 60s. Hey, I'll take it, bro. I'll take it.
You got to say, right, so after Joker and Embiid, Cat's got to be your third best center this year, right?
This year,
kinda,
yeah.
Clearly, right. It's got to be. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing that team in the playoffs, man. I think they figured out things. They clearly have a better roster than Denver. And I think they might end up hunting for that fifth spot, man. Dallas has lost a couple in a row. Minnesota's 9-1 their last 10 games. So I think they might end up fifth. That's what I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess Minnesota ends up fifth.
Hey, I told you. I pushed the agenda on you. I told you, man. I said we're going to be different this year. I told people.
Yeah, that's tough, man. So going back to the Warriors side of this, so with the Wiseman injury, do you think that team, the Warriors, regret not putting all the chips in at this point, or they will regret? I say don't regret. Lakob obviously has his plan where he wants to compete and preserve their future at the same time, which is kind of towing a dangerous line. Do you think maybe they regret not cashing in at least the Moody and Wiseman picks for help? Let's say you keep Kuminga as the Timberwolves pick. Will they regret not cashing in Moody and Wiseman for, help now to help them win a chip?
Yeah, I think for them it's like, based off how this season's going, how well they played, I think they would have, if they could go back on it with how Wiseman looks now, they would probably been much more aggressive in getting a big while Wiseman's stock was higher. They even supposed to just get like a serviceable big. Since Wiseman had so much potential before coming back from his injury, you could at least got like a decent start just trading him alone. You know what I mean? Not even coming off anything else. Just because he's so young and so raw in talent, you could have got a decent start just off him alone. Yeah. Rashawn Holmes type, or even Miles Turner, if you package like a second or a late first with Wiseman, you could have got Miles for it. So it's like, now that they see Miles, you see the setbacks that has happened. It's like, it's like you kind of as from their end, they're disappointed. It's right.
And I get it. I think Kuminga is going to be a star. I think we both agree Kuminga is going to be a star. I think we kind of both said this summer. Yeah. In summer, we saw him in summer league. He's got special potential, but man, like not cashing in, Moody and Wiseman, man, that just feels kind of unfair to that big three. Mm-hmm. I mean, we both talked about how much is going to be on Dre's plate for this playoff run off a back injury, man. He's going to have to bang with some big boys for some rounds, man, him and Looney. So mm-hmm. we'll see how that goes. But I'm not too thrilled from the Warriors' point of view right now. Let's talk some March Madness. Right? Not some March Madness, but this is like an NBA pod. But, you know, we do discuss prospects now and then. Let's talk some of these main guys. Let's go Chet. You know, the Gonzaga, big fella, 7 feet tall, 195 pounds. What have you seen from him in the tourney as far as what you think will relate or show on the NBA floor? As he's obviously, I think he's going to declare for the draft. The 1-16 game is usually a wash, except for one time in history where Virginia folded. But against Memphis, I saw some good things and some bad things. I'll let you go first before I respond. What do you think about Chet? You know, as far as transferring to the big leagues next year.
Yeah, man. I mean, just looking at what I've seen, fluidity, he can really run. He can really run at that size. Not awkward at all. So that's going to translate. He has confidence in his handle. It's not awkward at all. That's going to translate. I think he's only going to get better the more he keeps working on it and getting drills with it. His shot, he has a nice shot, nice form. That's going to translate. And what I like about him, too, defensively, he knows how to use his length. He knows how to time his jumps, and he knows how to position himself. He has a lot of tools, man. He has a lot of tools that are going to be NBA level. His only thing is just getting his body. Yeah. Getting his body to match the skill that he has. That's it. I think that's it. And if he can get the body to match the skills, he has unicorn type of skill set. It's a lot of big, not a lot of bigs. It's we're seeing more bigs have high-end bigs have that now. I don't know what's in the water with the big men right now, but they just all developing at, these big men prospects have been coming. They've been developing at a crazy pace with their skill sets and you know what I mean, and just knowing how to play the game. But, yeah, Chet, he has it all for what you want from an NBA big, offensively and defensively. But it's just getting his body to match it and then being able to keep all those skill sets as you bulk up, get bigger. You know what I mean? Like, is he going to keep his fluidity? Is he going to keep his handle? Is he going to keep a shot? You know what I mean? That was those type of things. So being able to match the body to the skill set is going to be the key for him.
Yeah, I agree. That was the same thing I saw. He's already an excellent help side defender. The instincts coming to help, knowing how to use his length, to make up for him not being the strongest guy. I think that's going to be, useful for him as he figures out where he's going to play early on until his body develops. I think the weird thing is, Gonzaga plays him at center on defense right now, and there's no way he's going to be able to do that at the NBA level next year because he's just going to get killed at 195 pounds. So it'll be interesting to see how he's used early. My guess is probably at the four.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Start out. Because they put him at center in the NBA, it's going to be too much for him to get hurt or just get beat up every night at some point. So I do love the potential. I think when I watch him, I kind of remember what you said about Jalen Green, where it's like you'll see flashes, but until the body gets all the way there, you won't see the full product. And I think it's like an extreme version of that because he's 7 feet and he's not even 200 pounds, bro. It's just like all skill. He just has no choice but to bulk up, and I think he will. So I think going to Gonzaga was good for him. I think the G League would have been real tough, dealing with all that physicality out the gate. So I think he made the right decision going to Gonzaga to prepare his body first before going right to the NBA level, body types. Let's talk about my number one. Jaden Ivey, that's number one on my
going crazy right now.
Yeah, that's what I just think, that quick twitch athlete, just a combo guy, explosive athleticism. He really sold me now that the three-pointer is above 40% on high volume after, high 20s last year. Tell you he's that shows me he's a worker.
Yeah.
I just think he's just, man. That next, that crop of guards that, that DeJounte Murray, Jalen Green, those younger guys, even, you know, hard to invoke John Morant, like that's a special type of player, but you can see that mold of, you know, hyper athletic guy. If he gets the jumper, it's going to be impossible to stop him. I'm just seeing that in him, and he's even competitive defensively, which I like a lot. Like yeah. He defends, and that's a big thing for me. If you sit down and defend and show you're a two-way player, I think that shows a potential to be a franchise guy, you know, and possibly, you know, lead a contending team. So what have you seen from, you know, Jaden Ivey?
Yeah, man, super, super explosive athlete, man. I guess up and down quick. But I think the main thing that popped out to me was his size.
Yep.
I was like, bro, I looked at it. When I seen him, I was like, how tall is bro? And then he was like 6'3". I was like, bro, he built. Like, he is built, and he is fast, and he's explosive. And I'm like, when you have that type of build with the skills he already has with that size, it's just honing in at that point. It's just repetition because he already has his skill for his frame. So it's just maintaining, keeping your body right, adding more, you know, building on it a little bit here and there, you know, adding your strength to it, but maintaining and adding your natural strength as you grow, but then mostly just honing on your skills because you already have a game that fits your God-given, you know, physical talents. It's like you just got to keep working at your craft every single year, which he has shown. You know, second year, like you said, shot high 20s. Percent from three. This year is over 40, and he's doing it off the bounce.
Yes.
You know, catch and shoot. So I see why everybody likes him, man. I watched the tape, some of the tape. See why they like him, man. He has it. And in a league where perimeter playing, perimeter creation is so valuable, a guy like that with that size, it's hard to pass him up, man. You know what I mean? Especially in a league where, you know, because Chet is great, but he's not NBA ready. He has skill sets I think could be really useful down the line, but he's not NBA ready. And also, this is a draft that has a lot of bigs. So,
right.
You know, with those two things said, like, it's perimeter talent was already at a premium. I think in this draft, it's even at a higher premium. I think for the simple fact that Jaden Ivey is like a top level perimeter talent. And he's the clear-cut best perimeter talent in this draft, and there's not that much in this draft. I think he probably will go number one off that fact alone.
Right.
I definitely see that.
Right. You know what I got shades of, too? I'm watching him, and a lot of our younger listeners probably won't remember this guy, but the Baron Davis, you know, that 6'3", 200 pounds, 6'3", over 200 pounds, just super explosive.
Yep.
That's kind of the shades I got looking at. Like, even like maybe I think Baron was more of a bowling ball and Jay's more like a quick twitch guy. I'm just talking about the general explosiveness in a big guard. That's kind of who I got shades of, you know, watching him. So I'm definitely, he's my number one. So I'm definitely looking forward to who gets our number one pick, man. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if Detroit gets it because they have K, where they will go. You know what I mean? It's just it's what's will they have
Kate? Yeah, hey, honestly, I would get both of them. I would do both Jaden and Kate because like, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? Like you have Jaden, Kate with Sadiq, like, man, I would run all three. I mean, like that type of perimeter talent, I think, you know,
it works because Kate is 6'8", so you might be right.
Kate is 6'8", exactly. You have Kate who's basically a wing, you know what I'm saying? So it's like for them, because Cade is so talented on perimeter and he's a wing, you can get like another explosive guard in Perry. Like, it'll make sense. You know what I'm saying? Even Sadiq is like 6'7".
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those are wings. You know what I'm saying? So you can get that guard. You know what I mean? And have that guard come in. And now all of a sudden you're building a team where you're, you know, Jaden Ivey probably your smallest guy on the floor, and you have like, you know, Sadiq, 6'7". You have Cade, who can be a pseudo point guard, 6'8". You probably have a power wing at 6'9", and you have a big, rim running big. It's like, that's, bro, like, if I was the Pistons, bro, I would honestly get Ivy. I don't think if you're the Pistons and you want like a long term build in terms of you're fine with slowing it down, I can see you taking Chet for sure. I think long-term, he has a nice complementary skill set with Cade. But I just think that you, with how many bigs are coming in, you might be able to find a quality big that can fit that rim runner arc, defensive archetype, and then pair a bunch of explosive perimeter guys around that that are very big, that can all compete defensively. I think you could build something special with the Pistons if you draft Ivy. I really think so. I think Chet should be somebody who goes to, like, somebody that, like, you know, New Orleans or, like, Charlotte should be targeting. I think that would be more of a Chet spot.
Right. And it's weird because I'm not even sure Chet is not even my number one big. Like, I'm a big Jabari Smith guy. Like, I get shades of, like, a more – he seems like a more physical, aggressive, you know, Chris Bosh. You know what I mean? And, that, and like, that's scary to me because, you know, Bosh's thing was he wasn't super, you know, assertive. And I think Jabari has that potential. So I think Jabari is my number one. Jabari is my number one as far as the bigs go. Let's talk about Paolo because he's like the controversial because he was number one for a minute this season. He's kind of dropped a little bit. But, dude, from what I've seen in the tourney, man.
He's competing.
That's what I said.
And I'll tell you this right now. Cause you know I'm a U fan. Right. So you know I just watched that Auburn game.
Yes, I'm saying.
I heard you talk about Jabari. Hey man.
Yeah.
Hey, I watched this game now from beginning to end. I've seen this game from beginning to end, bro. I didn't like what I was seeing. Yeah. So I liked what I saw from Paolo though, man. He's a physical. You know, everybody gets Randall vibes from him, but I think with Paolo, he has a better motor coming out. And I think he's much more active defensively.
Yes. So
I think he would make him project a lot better than Randall. I think he moves laterally a lot better than Randall did.
Yep.
So I think that'll help him, you know, develop in a better way than Randall has. But I mean, I understand the Randall archetype. You know, power four, very good offensively. That plays a bully ball for offensive game. Offensively, he's gonna translate. Like you want to be like Randall offensively as a four, maybe with a obviously want to have a better jumper, but you want to be like Randall four. Randall's very productive offensively. But I think defensively, I think that's where Paolo's gonna have a chance to separate himself and be more impactful than a Julius Randall because he'll be able to guard.
And I think also you want to add in the difference between 6'10" and 6'7" at the NBA level is a lot. Like Randall's 6'7". And Paolo's a legit 6'10", you know, 250.
Yeah.
And I think he's just a terror to deal with on the face up. What I look for, like the numbers don't move me so much at the college level as far as like I look for little things like, you know, defensive activity. Do you embrace the moment? Like when I saw Paolo take the game by the horns when Michigan State took over. Him going to the cup with the big boy move, you know, under the end of the court, getting that big time, you know, block and recovery in the clutch. Like stuff like that moves. Okay, he doesn't run from the moment. I think stuff right. like that translates very well to the NBA level. And a lot of these guys are, you know, a lot of it's going to depend on where these guys end up as fits. Like, are you going to end up in Oklahoma City, Orlando, Detroit? You know what I mean? A lot of it's going to matter, going to depend on things like that. So I'm high on this top floor, man. I mean, maybe not a superstar in here, but I think there's some star players. You know what I mean? Like there's no, it's not like a Tatum you will find, or I think Cade is going to be a superstar at some point, but maybe not that level of superstar, but I think there's a couple, maybe Ivy, maybe I see that in Ivy a little bit, I think some stars to some solid players. And
yeah, I think that's what this draft is.
So who's somebody? I know you've been watching, you know, your guys at the U and a couple of the games, but anybody in this tournament you think that was under the radar that possibly, you know, got themselves drafted and made themselves some money or might open your eyes like, hey, he could possibly, you know, be a solid player at the NBA level. Anybody you want to point out like that?
I mean, I liked how my guy on the U was I like how he was defending, bro. I think it was Anthony Walker. I think it was light skin. I think it might have been Yeah, I think it was Miller. I think it was Miller. So I think it was Jordan Miller. Jordan Miller was playing at a high level today. I thought, you know what I mean? So I think he could be solid, but even then, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you have a good tourney run, you know, you're playing good defense, but it's like, you know, the whole tape from the whole year has to match.
Right.
I did like what I saw in Ohio State from I did like what I saw from Ohio State from the, I think it was the guard. What was his name again? It started with a B. Let me pull this up. I don't want to mess up his name because he was moving me a little bit. Brandon. Yeah, Brandon was getting his game off. I thought he was getting his game off. Looked very comfortable. Looked very solid. Looked like he could be like, you know, he kind of reminded me of one of those, you know, off the bench type of guards. You know, like the Monte Morris's, you know what I'm saying? Like the probably a lesser version, a little bit of Brunson. He's very solid, even kill. Like he's a Derek White type. There you go. Like a Derek White type of guard in terms of he can come in, be a solid guard, give you 12 points, hit some threes, maybe, you know, create some plays here and there. I think that could be a solid role player piece. I liked what I saw from him today.
I only saw snippets of that Auburn Miami game, but I saw Barry was 3 for 16 and 1 for 8 from three. That's why you saw.
Well, he was nasty.
Yeah. For me, it's mainly one guy. I thought he was kind of fringe all year. Jamari Bouye out of USF. I thought he was like a fringe draft guy, but if I'm just looking at it, I started paying attention more his pulling more his highlights and watching him dig deeper into his stats. That kid's a fringe first round pick, man. He's definitely getting drafted. The guard of USF, just a spectacular game, you know, opening day against Murray State. And I think a lot of people said that team, those two teams are not supposed to be seeded like that. But the committee just kind of frowns on mid majors, so they kind of got matched up. But those teams both could have made a run. Like that was just a special game. It's not just the numbers. Like there's a pro way to how he gets his money with the step backs, the change of space, scoring at all three levels. I think that stuff matters. It's really a lot of, you know, Fred Van Fleet, you know, type stuff. I think he could be a really good, you know, guard off the bench and possibly could, you know, develop into something else. But that kid's a pro, man. And I'm not talking about an overseas pro. He can play in the NBA, you know. Also, my final thing on this tournament, I tweeted this. I saw about 5 centers that will come to the Los Angeles Lakers and start next year.
We could have used a lot of them.
So many days. Obviously, college is not the NBA, so a lot of this is hyperbole.
They can use a lot of them, boy.
But you're looking at the games, like, if the Lakers have somebody who could just do that, they'd be so much better. But it's just Dwight and whoever else they decide to play there, whether it be Stanley or LeBron at that point. Kings, real quick, LeBron did pass Carmelo for second all-time on a scoring list. I feel like it was a special moment. Just wanted to give you a chance to speak on that. They did lose the game. They fell to 10th today when the Pelicans beat the Hawks. So it's getting touch and go as far as if they're even going to make the play-in. So just real quick, let you talk about your GOAT. Hitting that number 2 all time, man.
And it's a crazy thing to think about. We watch somebody become the number 2 all time scorer, one season away from becoming the number 1 all time scorer. It's one of those things where it's just like, man, we really watched it happen.
Yeah, right.
Like we watched it happen from beginning to end. You know what I mean? Like a lot of us younger folks didn't watch Kareem. Know, even some of the older people older than me, they didn't see younger Kareem. You know,
what I mean? That's like
Coach Ricky G, who watched. Right. You know, what I mean? He was able to see the whole thing. You know, what I mean, and obviously, we don't want to think about the other dude who was number 2. We don't, you know, try to leave him off any type of all time discussion for obvious reasons. But even then, it's like a lot of the younger crowd. You know, what I mean, like the young, like my generation younger didn't really watch, you know, him in the 80s like that. So it's like, for LeBron James to do, it's like that's somebody everybody right now who, you know, I mean, 20 and up got to watch for most of his career from beginning to end of his, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, damn, like we really about to see somebody come into the NBA and leave with the all-time scoring record. Like, that's just crazy to think about, because I was looking at Kareem's record. I was like, man, I don't know if this will ever get broken. I don't know if anybody can stay that durable. I don't know if anybody could put up that many points from beginning to end. But LeBron James, he's going to be going on 20 years, averaging 27. I mean, that's what it took. You know what I mean? So that's what it's going to take to break what LeBron does when he leaves. So it's like, what a hell of a career, bro. You know what I mean? That's all I keep saying every time I see his accolades get broken. I'm like, what a career, bro. Like, that's all I can say.
Yeah, I think the wildest part, like, as soon as he broke it, the next day people were like, well, you know, Luka's going to be on his way. I'm like, bro, you have to understand, it's not just the production. It's the amount of care he put into taking care of his body. The amount he put into taking care of his body.
The same Luka that come in out of shape every
day. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say. I was like, you understand, it's not just about skill at that point. It's discipline, being willing to put in the work after, you know, you accomplish so much and constantly getting up to prove you're to be great every day. Like, that type of stuff matters.
And I want to give this to people. This is Luka games played first four years. His rookie year, when he averaged 21, that was the most games he ever played, 72. Obviously, we had the COVID year, we averaged 29, which was 28.8. He played 61. Last year, he played 66. This year, he's probably looking at 60. He's at 55 right now, so he's probably looking at 65, 66
type of games. Yeah. 65,
66 games. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what LeBron James played and what he was putting up. LeBron James' rookie year, he played 79 games, he put up 21. 79, put up 31.4. Fourth year, 78, put up 27.3. Fifth year, 75, 30. Sixth year, 81. Like, he was playing games, bro. Like, he was playing games and producing. Like, people don't understand, you can't miss games. Like, you have, not only do you need to produce, and not only do you need to stay healthy, you have to play. You know what I mean? You right. have to play games. And like, even remember that year at Cleveland, his last year in Cleveland, where everybody left, Kyrie and then Love was booty, and then he still carried all of them to the finals. He played 82. I think he played all 82 that year. Yeah, he played all 82 that year. Man. All 82 games. So it's like, bro, you gotta play games. Like, and for Luka, always coming in out of shape, having to play his way into shape. That's why he gets these ticky tag injuries that he ends up having to take time off of, and then having to heal himself. Like, come on, bro. It's not just, like you said, it's not just the skill. It's not just the averages. You have to discipline, take care of your body, and you also have to be able to play these games and be available. And we also have to see how Luka reacts when he goes on a deep playoff run and he comes back the next year. Because LeBron was doing this off deep playoff runs. He was going to the finals and coming back, still produce at the high level and still playing games. Like, if you expect Luka to compete, go into the playoffs, have success and win some chips or go into some finals runs or some deep conference finals runs, can you come back the next year and play 78 games and still produce at a high level? Like, you know what I mean? You have these things matter. Like, people don't think about these. Like, those aren't a given. That's why the records haven't been broken.
Right.
I think Bill Simmons said it too. He's like, they all thought Carl was going to break Kareem's record, and he ended up not doing it because he fell off too much at the end. Like, it's never a given. Right. So seeing LeBron go for it and be able to actually do it, man, it's going to be crazy.
Right. And real quick before we get out of here, Lakers dropping 10th. Are they going to make the play-in, Kings?
I don't think they want to. I think LeBron is comfortable getting his numbers and them losing and then him taking the summer off.
These are the next five games. Give me their record. At Cleveland, home against Philly, at New Orleans, at Dallas, at Utah. That's the next five.
1-4 at best.
They might be cooked if they go 1-4. Just so you know, they might be cooked if they go 1-4.
That's at best.
Ooh. All right, you guys, make sure you follow and subscribe to Pod. You can hear Kings discussed with the Lakers. Make sure you follow, subscribe to the Pod, leave us feedback, rate us, talk to us on the timeline, things you want to hear. We will be back on Green Room midweek. You guys love that. We love doing it for you. It's going to be fun. Make sure you tap in. You guys be safe out there. Kings, who you got winning it all before we get out of here? March Madness, who you got?
You know, I just realized today when I was watching the games, like, wait a minute. Of course, I'm going with Miami. You feel me?
Okay, that's right. Kings is a big fan.
That's it.
I had Baylor winning it. they folded round two. They tried to make a miraculous comeback, didn't get it done. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to say Coach K rides out in the sunset, man. I'll go with Coach K riding out in the sunset.
I'll tell you what, they don't want to see us again. They don't want to see us again if you want that. That's all right.
All right, y'all. Y'all be safe. We out of here.